Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, here we go. Let's start out with a heartfelt, get better soon message to Chris Letang, Penguins legend, three-time Cup champion. I would call him the greatest defenseman in team history. Based on his incredible longevity and contributions to the franchise, Chris Letang, we're thinking about you, buddy. I get my hair cut at the same place as Chris Letang, so we've got a lot of mutual friends, know a lot of the same people. I'm thinking about Chris Letang right now, just like you are, Mulsey, just like you are, Donnie Football. We're all thinking about Chris. Get better, Chris.
I cannot help but notice that in the course of a very heartfelt and warranted message of get well soon, man, which it's wild to read, second stroke, and not believed to be career threatening, our guy here, Donnie, can't help but note that he gets his hair cut at the same place and runs in the same circles.
It just, I mean, it would hit hard regardless, but the fact that we run in some of the same circles, it frankly hits even closer to home for me.
I want to, very well, point very well taken. Are you a little surprised that they just, that it's like, at 35, wouldn't you at least consider it if you were him?
Okay, can I tell you something? And
I would at least think about it if I were
him. Can I tell you
him.
Something like, and don't make
this,
fun of me?
Is this worth it to keep going?
Will you promise not to make fun of me if I tell you something?
No, I'm not, because making fun of you is like
Donnie, will you promise not
day.
To make fun of me if I tell you something?
I don't know if I could do that. I mean, it really depends on what
just
it is.
Just say yes, you promise, and I'll make fun of him. You can funnel me
sure,
jokes.
Pony,
so he
go
says
ahead.
What he's
going
to say.
So Chris Letang is pretty much our age. We're in our mid to late 30s. Chris Letang is the same age as us. Chris Letang keeps himself in much better shape. But it is stuff like this with Chris Letang that really is the onset of some of the hypochondriac behavior that I exhibit all the time, that my wife knows all about. Where she's had to take me to MedExpress, or I've had to do a teleconference with my doctor because I will see a symptom or I will experience what I think is a major symptom and I will freak out that there is something broader and much bigger wrong with me. So, for example, what we know about Letang, he had a headache. He was suffering from a migraine. He calls the head athletic trainer, Chris Stewart. Chris Stewart then calls the Penguins' main doctor. The main doctor tells Stewart, you need to get Chris Letang to the hospital ASAP. Now, it's a little bit different because that was one of the symptoms last time when he had his first stroke when he was 26, which is mind-blowing.
But, small hole in the wall of his heart.
Yeah, but my point is, I connect the dots on a problem. Oh, I'm experiencing back pain. And then I start Googling it.
Must be pancreatic cancer because if it's in your lower back.
Chris, I do stuff like that all the
time.
I
bet your phone history has more WebMD.com than it does Brazzers, which I would have never guessed.
I do that kind of stuff all the time. So it's really, this kind of stuff freaks me out because he is known as the absolute example of body is a temple. Everything this man does is to keep himself in the best physical shape possible, which 99.9% of professional hockey players do, but this guy gets credited for doing it even to a more extreme level. And he's in his mid-30s, and he's had two strokes? And this one, I think you said it. Like, are they... It seems like they're downplaying a stroke. Isn't that the way It comes across to you like...
Well, so, okay, I see Chris Letang had a stroke. I turned to Donnie. I said, his career's got to be over before I read anything. Correct, Donnie? That's an accurate retelling. I quickly turned to you and said, his career's got to be over, man. Then you read the press release. They immediately then say it's not believed to be career-threatening. Ron Hextall, much more mild than what happened to him 8 years ago. Mainly just at his age and his level of accomplishment, I think you're correct to call him the greatest defenseman in Penguins history because of his longevity and his excellence. He was just as dominant as Crosby was in that Sharks final in 16.
Yes, he was. Like, he could have been the Conn Smythe.
Easily. Kessel should have been, but they had three guys
right
who were viable. He's the kind of player who kind of put them over the top in many ways because of his skill set. But with his level of accomplishment and longevity, and I would assume he's made and socked away plenty of money, the thought would go through my mind, I guess, and this is how differently he's wired. I would just be like, do I want to keep doing this? Now, it's probably not connected to hockey, frankly. He was treated for that first stroke. He's on blood thinners. Like, the risks were if you're going to go on the ice and you catch, like, a skate to the, you know, or a puck, you might bleed a lot more. But it would at least be going through my mind, do I want to just keep going at this high of a level physically if it might exacerbate it at all? That's the first thing I thought of.
I don't think it does, though.
No, for him, it clearly does. I mean, this was the guy who, like, when he messed up a leg or something, they'd show these videos of him training, and he'd be doing one-legged barbell squats like a maniac.
He had a stroke in January of 2014. He then went and played 543 games and 69 playoff games in between the one that happened on Monday. Now, the hole in the heart that you brought up, I asked a friend who's a doctor, that specifically does not cause the stroke.
It causes the blood clot that causes the stroke, which is why it's treated with blood thinners.
Correct.
Yep. Yeah, when I read this...
Can travel to the brain and cause a stroke is what he told me.
Yeah, I read the... there was a piece that was written right after the first stroke where he talked about... After he had gotten his diagnosis, I think was either on the road to recovery and coming back onto the ice or had already done so. And basically he said, I hope people are more aware of symptoms. So I guess you've taken that to heart. But it was, yeah, they just treat this by using blood thinners. And that was the risk on the ice.
So this is what Letang said. We went into our fan archives.
Was this like the stuff in the black box that the house fire didn't destroy?
This is what Chris Letang said about his stroke back in 2014.
It's one day that I woke up and my wife found me on the ground, and that's how it worked. It was the morning. I was getting ready to go to L.A. with my mom, obviously for the mom's trip, and that's how it happened. Like, the day before, I was totally fine. I was just practicing, and I woke up that morning not expecting that would happen, and it went like this, and... I went in my car with my mom, drove to LA, and thought it would clear up, but never did. So
your wife found you on the ground at the house?
Yeah, yeah.
She called 911?
No. Her mom was there. Her mom's is a nurse, so took care of me.
Were you out when she found you?
No. I was just not able to function. So.
So he was on the ground, unable to move or do anything the last time this happened. So maybe that's why, or that's probably why Hextall is saying that this is more minor, because it didn't reach that.
Well, I guess he visited the team in the locker room after the game, too.
Well, yeah, and he was able to call and say, this is what I'm dealing with.
Sure, they caught it very early. It's just, it is wild to hear second stroke and not believed to be career-threatening.
Yeah, anytime you put minor in front of a word that's really bad, it still doesn't really take the pain away.
Oh, you had a minor heart attack.
Away. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, he missed... He returned for the playoffs of 2014. So even with a more serious stroke, he was back to finish that season a couple months later. So who knows? I mean, it's our job to really focus on the sports part of these things.
Yeah, but with this, it's not. There is no. It's just, hey, he's going to be out for a while.
But maybe not.
Well, they say indefinitely. When you hear indefinitely, do you at least think 2 weeks?
Well, yeah, but yeah, exactly. But if he was out 2 months last time, well, and it was much worse.
I would bet on it being shorter. So what are they? So ask your doctor friend this.
Okay.
Congratulations on all your success. You know cardiologists. I know orthopedic surgeons. Do they change his blood thinner regimen? Like, how does this get treated? If it happened again in a very minor way, when he was presumably on those blood thinners for the rest of his life as part of a treatment regimen.
Yep.
How does this get tweeted then?
I will.
Treated.
I will text that during the break.
Thank you.
Hopefully get an answer. All right. The other injury thing that you just heard is Najee Harris. Now, just coming in from the locker room post-practice, Jalen Warren gets the thumbs up. He's been cleared to play on Sunday. So Jalen Warren's going to come back from his hamstring. No word on Najee Harris other than what we just heard from Rap Sheet to start the show. Ian Rappaport from NFL Network says that they dodged a long-term injury bullet, that it's not one of these abdominal injuries where he has to go and have surgery ASAP. It is a rest and heal up situation. And from what he's hearing, the Steelers aren't ready to completely rule out Najee Harris for this game.
Haven't they learned two things? Rappaport really wanted people to know that he knows where and who the doctor is who does these big surgeries. The James Andrews of ab injuries in Philadelphia, I guess the guy is. Rappaport, very proud of that.
And two, the elbow guy that's in L.A. that
Neil
does all the
Ella-trash.
Yes, who did Ben Roethlisberger and all the Tommy John surgeries.
Yeah, I guess, is he the James Andrews of the Far West? Like, you could pick one or the other?
He does elbows, James Andrews does knees, and this guy does abs.
No, James Andrews does elbows.
Knees? I thought he was the ACL doctor.
I thought James Andrews did the elbows still.
Yeah, I thought he was the Tommy John
guy.
So who's the knee guy?
The late Freddie Fou used to be the knee guy.
Who's the premier knee guy then?
I mean, I think Dr. Bradley is up there on the knee guy
list. So wait a minute. The guy out in L.A. started to take over James Andrews.
That's what I mean. He said to people, wait a minute, I've got a great business model. Okay. Do you want to go to Birmingham, Alabama to get operated on, or do you want to come to L.A.?
Okay.
Anyway, haven't the Steelers, on the more serious note here, haven't they learned their lesson yet with Najee Harris? We're not going to rule him out. This is the same dude. How many minutes did we spend yesterday on this show talking about how they goofed this up by not letting him fully heal in the offseason? And they had a guy they liked. Now that guy, by the way, is back in the lineup. He's going to play. You had two running backs, both of whom performed wildly above expectations and seized on their chance when they had a shot at it on Monday night.
But what
why
is
would
the
you
biggest,
try to get him back?
But what is the biggest reason why those unheralded, unsung, kind of cast-off Steelers running backs, Benny Snell football and Booger McFarland Jr., what would you say is the biggest reason why those guys excelled and played well against the Colts?
Because they hit the hole that was there.
Okay, why was the hole there?
Because the line blocked.
Because the line blocked better. Would you agree with that, Donnie, that even though this line has been much maligned for pass blocking, that lately they've gotten better run blocking?
Yeah, I do think so. Okay. I mean, we've seen the last three games that the totals have been pretty good.
Which speaks to our point that the blocking is more important than the running. If you're building a running game, all-time question for you guys. Would you rather have the 90s Cowboys offensive line or Barry Sanders? If you could only have one.
90s Cowboys.
Me too. I'd rather have an amazing offensive line than an amazing running back. So
I just don't see the utility in rushing
okay,
back.
So
what have you gained?
So they went about it backwards. They proved in this game, this last game, that the run blocking is good. You can use plug-in guys who have been given up on, and they can excel. But here's a question for both of you guys and everybody else. Is Najee Harris a bust if his career gets derailed by injuries? Is he a bust? If we look back on his...
Was Senquez Golson a bust?
I say bust all the time with him.
Okay, then your answer has to be yes for Najee, because that's injuries derailing a guy from ever seeing the field.
Okay, but I don't look at Ryan Shazier as a bust.
Why not?
Because he had a horrible, tragic injury that was completely out of his control, and up until that point, I thought he was becoming a great player.
But it's still an injury.
I know.
Senquez Golson's injuries under his control?
I know. That's why I'm telling you in this very specific example, I do contradict myself. I do not look at Ryan Shazier as a bust. I even, like, saying that out loud even kind of makes me sick when I say that.
Because
it's
not a football injury. It's a life injury, and anyone that's, like...
But it happened in a football game.
No. But what I mean is, if you look at him walking on a football field, as much as it feels like a miracle and a happy one that he is walking, you can see the level of permanent impairment he has suffered from
it. Even if you take the bust label away, which is obviously a word that triggers a lot, it is like a very radioactive, nuclear, polarizing word. Even if you just say good pick, bad pick, I can't bring myself to put Shazier in the bad pick category. I can't.
Can you bring yourself to do it with Najee?
That's what I'm asking you guys.
I'm turning it back on you.
I know.
That's good strategy.
And so I'm gonna volley another one back to you. Does that make Kajana Carter a bad pick? If Kajana Carter, everybody that watched him at Penn State, if he doesn't get hurt in Cincinnati, he might go on to be a Hall of Fame running back. That's very possible. If he never gets hurt there, he might go down as one of the best running backs of all time. But inherently, that is the risk of drafting a running back. That was the number one pick. But this is a, but still, a first-round pick. Is that you know, even if the guy is a completely clean bill of health as a runner in college and in high school, you know when you draft a running back with a premium pick, what your...
Bust is different for me than bad tactical move by the team. Is it Najee Harris's fault that they drafted him where they
but
did?
But you just
no.
made a great point with Senquez Golson. I absolutely look at the guy as a bust. And it was injuries that ended his career before it even started. But I do feel that way about him. The guy's,
just inherently.
Yes. But when I hear that name, I think, oh, man, that's one of the all-time Steelers draft busts under
Kevin
Colbert.
They have a very bad record of developing their own corners that
they
draft.
So I think we just assumed that he was going to be a bad player
I'm asking you, do you think that your well-stated bias against them drafting corners because of what they do with corners that they pick high in the draft?
I throw him in there with those guys. I'm guilty of that.
Okay, so that's...
So I throw him in with Artie Burns and Ricardo Coakley and those guys. I do that, yes.
I think it's unfair to the player when
know,
the player has never seen an
NFL field. I
know
it is, but
field.
Senquez Golson makes every Steelers draft bust list. It was completely injury related.
Donnie, before you jump in here, I will actually answer the question since he and I have been playing tennis in here with it. I will call him a bust if injuries derail his career for this reason. When Najee Harris was at his best, whether it was a good offensive line in front of him or not, there were times where the blocking was there this year, too. I never saw him show the kind of skills or attributes. Not that I would have ever said it was worth it to pick a guy like that in the first round. I never saw him show the package of skills in the NFL that make me think we were robbed of something spectacular if he does end up getting just nickel and dimed by injuries. So that's my answer.
I think you just nailed it right on the head right there. I mean, if the guy shows that he was a budding star in the league.
Like Shazier.
Yes. Which is why you can't put Shazier in that category. I mean, he legitimately was on track to maybe win defensive player of the year in 2017. He was certainly in the conversation.
Could you say that Najee was on that trajectory before somebody stepped on his foot in training camp?
No.
No?
No, because the guy had a ton of touches and was a volume back, but was barely getting 4.5 yards a touch.
Dude. I know the stats were not good for him, but I thought he passed my eye test as a rookie because the line was so bad, because everybody didn't respect the Steelers down the field passing game. He'd get 3 yards and he'd have to break four tackles to get it.
But I saw him this year. Well,
yeah, that's where the stepped on the foot thing comes in.
No, but I saw enough cut-ups last year of people saying he's getting a pass because the line is so bad, but he was doing the same things last year that he was this year, not seeing holes that were actually blocked up for him because he didn't have the vision, because he never had to. I think there's ample reason to believe that Alabama running backs should be treated with a dose of caution. And I know Jacobs and Henry are doing their thing this year, but there's a reason that Trent Richardson was the comp.
I know, but
he went to the school where the blocking is usually so good, you don't have to have vision. Just run to daylight.
I talked to somebody today whose opinion I trust who said, if Najee does not suffer an injury, I could see him being the type of player that Josh Jacobs is in Vegas this year. Because I did not have a very high... I thought Jacobs was a pretty pedestrian running back who had a couple thousand-yard seasons, but I never thought he had great or elite potential in him. He's made a gigantic jump this year. He's probably going to be the first-team All-Pro running back. He's going to take that crown away from Derrick Henry.
He's already got a career-high in scrimmage yards already.
But look, I do think I'm ultimately on your side with this, but I don't say it with the same gusto or enthusiasm that I say Artie Burnt or I say Devin Bust. Those guys...
What about a mediocre Mason? He's not a first-round pick, but would you like to toss him in?
Even as I say Devin Bush, does the knee injury give him a pass?
Some people would tell you that there was more to like from Devin Bush in year one before an injury than there was from Najee Harris in year one.
Would you be one of those people willing to say that?
No, I think they're about the same player.
Yeah, me too.
Relative to their position.
But I do say Devin Bust.
Is it because you don't like him? Just generally, what is it about him?
Well,
is he a defensive player, so he's under Tomlin's purview? So there's the it carries with it the anti-Tomlin?
No, I think for him, it's really not only where he was picked 10th overall.
Or is it the social media?
I don't think that that helps him either with me, no. But I don't think that that's the number
one
reason.
Or his dad jumping on with Paul Zeiss to lecture people.
I kind of wish his dad would call into Zeiss's show more. I missed that. I thought that was actually one
of the... What if he called into Zeiss's AM show and they just discussed taxes and stuff like that, like international trade?
Got Anthony and Oakland in
Paul,
the mix.
Paul, you have no idea what NAFTA does. I saw Donnie glaze over
but,
when I threw
you know,
that
but
one
here
out
is
there.
A sign that a guy is an underachieving draft pick. Najee's probably not going to play this week. Do any of us look at it as a big loss for the Steelers?
I just tweeted out, sign me up for Warren McFarlane Snell. Dunlap responds with a picture of, I couldn't even look to see who it was yet, lining up with like a full house backfield. Mm-hmm. People want to see it. Because people naturally are always going to gravitate towards the guys that are either undrafted or didn't get much of a chance. Even in McFarland's case, where I think people say, oh, they drafted him because of Canada and Tomlin's Maryland connections,
yes.
And people didn't like him because of that.
Every time he got an opportunity, he didn't do anything with
correct.
It up until Sunday.
He got very few opportunities, but yes, he did nothing with them, probably connected to the other part of that. But when guys like that actually produce, fans automatically latch onto that and want to see more of it. And here's the other thing. Healthy or not, Najee Harris, all year, Jalen Warren has been their best running back. So I think you can say, point in fact, Jalen Warren, their best running back, is getting back healthy this week. Now, Starkey, if he is listening,
and you
is
said
ready
that,
to rip
and you
my
said
head
that
off.
As, and you say that as a staunch Benny Snell football guy.
Oh, I am a Benny Snell football backer. I am one of Benny's backers.
Donnie, would you like to try to navigate this one, or do you want to take the Switzerland route on Najee Harris?
Can we call the Switzerland route the Mac route now?
Is he a bust?
I mean, if he never comes back, sure. But I don't think an ab injury is going to keep him out for his career.
How long? Like,
no, but
would
I
you
mean,
rush him back, though?
No, but I'm not just saying ab, but like, can you just write off a bad season this year and eventually a bad career because of injuries with him?
If he really does nothing else in his NFL career, yes. I mean, he showed some promise as a rookie, but, again, got a ton of carries. If he just gets injury after injury after that, that has really never excused anybody else from getting that label.
I'm surprised nobody's brought up the idea that even though we all said how great he looked, is it the added weight that he put on, whether it was good weight or bad weight, contributing to a foot injury? I'm not saying that would be fair, but I'm surprised nobody's even tried to connect the dots
here
in this room full of big brains.
The last time the dots got connected, he lashed out at Steelers media.
Yeah, that's why I think that comment looks dumber and dumber by the day.
I think what made that comment look
dumber
so,
and dumber.
I think you're well. I think also, Donnie, what makes that comment look so ridiculous is he did look noticeably bigger, and we all complimented him on it, and he couldn't take a compliment. But guess what? A noticeably bigger guy trying to be like the old dancing bear back there in the backfield and run like Le'Veon Bell hasn't really worked.
Or how about the cocaine bear?
What everyone keeps talking about the cocaine bear. What is the cocaine bear?
It's a new movie that we're going to watch together, the three of us. We're going to go see it.
It's actually a movie called Cocaine Bear?
Yep.
Is it a bear that did cocaine?
Yes. We're going to go get our fountain sodas, our fountain pops, our big tubs of butter and popcorn, and the three of us are going to go watch Cocaine Bear together.
Is it about, I will watch it if it's just about a rampaging grizzly bear on cocaine.
It is. The PM team at the movies.
I mean, you got me hooked right there on the pop and the popcorn.
You know, Siskel and Ebert, eat your hearts out. Pony and Muller and the PM team review Cocaine Bear.
Isn't Cocaine Bear one of those movies, too, just by hearing it where the title is what they're hoping sells it?
And
Sharknado.
And don't you think it's got a sequel written all over it? Don't you think?
Cocaine Bear 2, Electric Boogaloo?
Is that movie, is it even in theaters or
oh,
is it just streaming?
No, it's going to go right, it's going to be a big
straight
theater.
To DVD?
No, it's definitely, I think, the sound effects and the visual of the bear on cocaine attacking people really, like some action movies and some science fiction movies are just... They hit different in theaters.
What's the guy?
Cocaine Bear, one of those films.
In a world where Cocaine Bear has run wild, a new horror emerges.
All he ever wanted was cocaine.
Are you ready for the terror of heroin iguana?
This fall.
Our old boss could probably do some mean versions of that, dude.
Yeah. This fall, are you prepared for marijuana parrot?
Ah, Polly wants some weed. Ah.
the role he was born to play.
Ark, Polly needs some Cheetos.
Ryan Reynolds is Cocaine Bear.
Yeah, who voices Cocaine Bear? John Goodman?
Academy Award nominee.
Why do you sound like Christian Bale doing Batman right now?
Daniel Day-Lewis is Cocaine Bear.
Daniel Day-Lewis grows his body hair out, actually eats like a bear.
Yeah, because he's one of those...
He's a method actor.
Yeah.
Are you aware he started a movie called My Left Foot, which was about a guy who could only use his left foot to communicate? He refused to walk on set. He made the stagehands carry him around the entire filming. If I'm a stagehand, I'm dropping his ass once a day to remind him I'm not happy.
Starring Paula Shore and Terry Reid. Tara Reid. It's Cocaine Bear.
And Stifler.
We don't know his real name.
What about Stifler's mom? She's having a career renaissance.
She really is. She's on Old Navy commercials now. Guess what? I'm into it. I'm kind of still turned on by her.
I'm so angry about those. They're using catchphrases in that commercial that are like 10 years old. Sorry, not sorry. You say that right now, a bunch of teenagers tell you to get lost. Come on. Hashtag? When was the last time someone said that? Yeah, come on in. Yeah, here we go.
Oliver Platt is Cocaine Bear.
I like that one. I don't know why Oliver Platt. I haven't thought about Oliver Platt in a long time. Wait, what's his name? Who was Private Pyle?
I don't know.
Vincent D'Onofrio. Vincent... The Academy is buzzing about,
I can't even get up,
about Vincent D'Onofrio's performance as a career-defining spectacle, Cocaine Bear.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Deontay Johnson, I'm having a great year.
Ball don't lie, baby!
What happened?
Ball don't lie! Crap penalty kick awarded to Messi, and the Polish goaltender who was called for the foul saved it. Rasheed Wallace is standing and applauding. Ball don't lie.
Do you think they had a big pregame meal of a galumpki or whatever it's called?
Holumpki.
I thought it was glumpki.
Holumpki.
Holumpki?
Holumpki.
I thought it was called halushki.
I was raised where it's holumpki. It might have been an H and a G. Have you ever seen?
Is that the one that's stuffed in cabbage?
Yeah.
Stuffed.
My mom called them Polish hand.
Well, how about the noodles one?
That's halushki.
Okay, so there is
different
a halushki,
but that's not Polish.
What is that?
That's like Hungarian, maybe.
Hungarian.
Yeah, I believe so. And then there was Hakushi, who was a wrestler, right? Haku.
Yeah, he's like the baddest dude that's ever done it.
That's right.
All right. So Messi is coming to America, I guess, to play for the MLS. Just miss one?
They're going to need Haku.
He got legit saved. Like,
oh, okay.
It was on target, and the guy made an unbelievable play.
They're going to need Haku to take on the Cocaine Bear.
By the way, Donnie made us watch the trailer for Cocaine Bear during the break. What is the write-up on Cocaine Bear? How are they describing the plot of this movie?
I'm on IMDb. Described as a thriller, an oddball group of cops, criminals, tourists, and teens converge in a Georgia forest where a 500-pound black bear goes on a murderous rampage after unintentionally ingesting cocaine.
I'm in.
It's got Ray Liotta. It's got to be his final piece
Ray
of work.
Liotta, you think
your
that's...
Goodfellas, your incredible thing, and he ends
what a
his
way to
career
go out.
On his filmography? Cocaine
Bear. Rest in peace, Ray Liotta. What a way for him. Are they advertising the movie as such? Ray Liotta in his final act, just like John Candy's last, or no, not John Candy. Chris Farley's last movie, I think, was what?
Beverly Hills Ninja?
No.
Tommy Black Sheep?
No. It was one where it was like a Western, a comedic Western.
Is
that Almost Famous or Almost Heroes?
Almost Heroes, I think, might have been it.
Yeah, and John Candy's last movie was Canadian Bacon, was the name of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ray Liotta has quite a filmography, but I think Cocaine Bear is going to stand alone. It's just one of those great high-concept movies.
Is this going to be one of these situations where now people in real life are going to try to give bears cocaine?
Don't you think they probably already have?
Who's they?
Like, just people.
They go to Yellowstone and they just leave out a big line of cocaine for a bear?
I mean, you hear all those stories all the time about people going camping and the bears just get absolutely sloshed on all their beer.
Really? I've never heard stories like that.
Oh, yeah. There's some good ones where bears will break into a campsite and the people have beer and those bears will get drunk, dude.
Wasn't there a show or a documentary of a guy that just lived with bears for like 30 days and they literally mauled him?
Yeah, they killed him.
Wait, and the camera crew got
It was self-shooting, I think. And yeah, because nobody else would be stupid enough to live among grizzly bears. He called himself Grizzly Man, and he said, I can basically communicate with the bears, and they have accepted me as one of their own.
So what is
Buddy,
Liotta's role?
They accepted
role?
You as dinner.
What is Liotta's, like, is he warning the tourists to not give the bear cocaine?
Here's the thing.
And they do anyways?
Isn't everybody's role in this movie to just orbit around the cocaine bear? Does it even matter what Ray Liotta's doing?
It does. I want him to go out on top. I want him to turn in a performance of a lifetime in Cocaine Bear. We're definitely going to go see it. Let me know when it comes out, and I'm going to let Amanda know now. Honey, clear out my schedule. Me and the guys are going out to watch Cocaine Bear.
What if it was a serious documentary about, like, Bear Grylls' battle with addiction or something like that? Also, is Eric Clapton's cocaine used in this movie at some point?
Has to be.
Like, they set a montage of the bear just wrecking stuff.
It's all right.
That's a phenomenal song.
The bear's going in slow motion, swinging its big old paws in there, wrecking people.
Oh, man. Move over, Citizen Kane. Here comes Cocaine Bear.
You've tried Citizen Kane, but have you tried a bear with cocaine?
Deontay Johnson, I've had a great year. Shut up. No, you haven't. I know what he's going for. Like, now he's trying. This is the classic when I'm not doing stuff on the field well, I'm going to explain to you about how really at the end of the day, that's not the stuff that matters.
He did say in there, my stats aren't good, which I at least like acknowledging this. Here's a trivia question.
In my opinion, I'm having a great year. BS, if you were fine with the year you were having, you wouldn't have tried to fight the other quarterback at halftime of a game.
Maybe his year's going better now that quarterback isn't playing. Although maybe he thinks Mason Rudolph should be the quarterback. Maybe he's the guy in the locker room supporting him. Question for you, trivia. Can you name the only other wide receiver within 30 catches of Deontay Johnson in this category? He's by far the leader among all NFL pass catchers. Most catches without a touchdown this year. Can you name the only wide receiver who has within even like 30 without a touchdown? It's a guy who has 30 catches on the nose and doesn't have a touchdown. You're not going to get it.
Who is it?
Khalif Raymond. So Deontay Johnson is like over 10 clear of the field. I think Tyler Higbee and Josh Jacobs are the other ones who have caught 40 balls without a touchdown.
Here's how you start it. You start by saying this is PR. This is a PR lesson for Deontay Johnson as to how to get fans to maybe accept you and like you more as you have a bad year. Start by saying that. I know I'm having a bad year. End of sentence. Next. But there are other things I'm trying to do to help the team. I'm mentoring our young wide receivers. I'm spending extra time with our quarterbacks. But just don't try to give us some silver, like some actually. Like, what it reminds me of, wasn't it Brian Flores who said, or no, it was Austin who said, Devin Bush, he makes hidden plays.
Correct.
He is an all-pro in the film room.
They gave us the old, you guys watch a lot of football, but you don't really understand.
You know where he makes great plays? Not on the field.
Oh, but
no,
you should
there.
See this guy when the tape is rolling. He is just, he's basically Luke Kuechly. I mean, do you buy him saying, I was just trying to keep George's spirits up? On the sideline.
Is that what he ended up saying?
He did say, I was trying to keep George's spirits up. He's a very important guy in this offense. He was a little down after the drops. I actually do buy that, because if anybody knows anything about dropping the football and having to try to get back out there and regain your confidence,
fair
it
point.
Would be Deontay Johnson.
I'm sorry, man. I'm not paying you $18 million a year. I didn't give you money in the offseason to be like an assistant wide receivers coach.
I do buy, though, that he is more serene with this and at peace with this than maybe some people would believe because he got paid. Worst thing that happens is he comes back next year for big money again. Pickett's a year older, a year more, you know, entrenched in the system, and Johnson puts up maybe better numbers and gets himself geared up to go into free agency again sooner rather than later. I would imagine he feels like he has to feel pretty good about that two-year deal.
If Mike Tomlin is really the great players coach that he is described as and built up as, what he needs to do right now is arrange and schedule a team field trip to go watch Cocaine Bear. Get the entire team together, rent out a movie theater. You want to galvanize a team? You want to bring a team together as one? You don't have Dick LeBeau read them the night before Christmas. You go have them watch Cocaine Bear.
You have him watch Ray Liotta perform in Cocaine Bear. Tweet comes in. I heard Michael Irvin and Bam Morris were the executive producers of Cocaine Bear.
Could you imagine?
No love for Lawrence Taylor there.
Could you imagine?
The budget went right up. Well, forget it.
Like, a championship team bonded over Cocaine Bear, and it was the stuff of legend years
well,
from now.
You know how they do those
The turning point of our season,
right.
Guys, Cocaine Bear?
Yeah, they do those team yearbooks, and it's like, I'm trying to, who's a team? Like Washington Commanders or somebody that's down and out. No, the Buccaneers go on a crazy run, and Brady goes, I know you guys are going to think this is wild. We were 5-6. We went and saw Cocaine Bear, and just everything turned around.
See, this is where I miss John Facenda, like him and his NFL Films voice. On like the Super Bowl yearbook.
Brian Daboll's New York Giants were languishing at 7-4. Daniel Jones's confidence was in the toilet until a fateful trip to the cinema to see Ray Liotta's final work.
Somebody tweeted us and
said Cocaine Bear. Based on
a
true story.
Is a true story.
Yeah, I believe it. That's what I'm talking about. Bear gets access to a bunch of drug dealers, stash a bunch of cocaine in the woods. Bear finds cocaine. Bear eats cocaine. There's your movie. Do you even need a script for Cocaine Bear? Hey, I got a movie I want to shoot. It's called Cocaine Bear. What, do you have a script? No, just get a bunch of actors to play parts. There's a bear. He's going to be on cocaine. He's going to be rampaging. What are your thoughts?
Where is that movie? What forest is it in? Where are they supposed to be?
It says Georgia.
I got to call my dad and ask him why he did not audition
for Cocaine Bear. If your dad comes back with some crap like, I thought the work was beneath me, that the plot was beneath me, I will be so pissed. You have any chance to get in on Cocaine Bear, you get there.
Text Dad.
Dad, why did you not?
Did you get a casting call for Cocaine Bear?
Dad, did you have a shot at what if he told you, hey, that's a project I've been working on and I couldn't tell you about it?
He tried to pull that with the Rocky movie, the new one that's out. He's in that.
Well, that was the one you wouldn't tell us about.
Yeah, because he like swore me to secrecy on it.
Well, I guess that swearing period is over.
Okay. Did you get a casting call for Cocaine Bear? Doctor, by the way, hasn't gotten back to me.
Huh. Maybe we asked one a little above their pay grade. I don't know. Are they a cardiologist?
Yeah.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.